Greetings again, pilgrims. This is your Sabbath day, a gift from God to you, to help you and me and all of us feel the presence of God in a deeper way, to learn that that's what we're called to do, that that's what you want for us, to know you are here and with us, and indeed, in the best case, united with us. Well, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. Welcome to your Sabbath version. It's number 7 of our New Year Launching Pad series, and it's January 17th. And our devotion today from Michael Casey's book, Balaam's Donkey, will be called Fence Sitting. I can tell you this, the monks are ready with their healing chant. The pink sand candle is lit and glowing beautifully. It looks like peace itself. And the tea. My goodness, the tea. Can you tell? That's right, that's kava tea. Pastor Bob's kava tea. It's going to be a good day. Well, let's get to the devotion today. Fence sitting. And as I read and studied the devotion before I read it to you, it brought to my mind this word that we all know well, that I really struggle with, and I still don't understand what it means or what the definition of it is. I'm getting there, but it's going to take a while. And that word is Christian. What does it mean to be someone who calls themselves a Christian? What does it mean to be Christian? How can one become Christian? Well, in our culture, there's no clear idea of that. In fact, I think in our culture, in our churches, in our mainstream churches, Christian means that you attend church, and maybe you're a church member, that you acknowledge the reality of Jesus Christ in the world, that you study the Bible, perhaps daily, perhaps weekly, that you might attend a Bible study, you might listen to a devotion like this or read many others that are available, or maybe you do some ministry each week or month for Jesus. Our Christmas Eve, Christmas dinner giveaway, for instance. But that's not really what makes someone a Christ follower, a Jesus follower, and Jesus tells us that. He says to follow Jesus means to give your life away, to take that next step, to make Jesus your Lord and your King, someone who you give your whole life to, someone you follow. So you're not the leader, but the follower. But the follower of Jesus Christ, which makes you a leader. There's more to being a Christian than most people think. So let's turn to our devotion and see what you think. It's called Fence Sitting. And here's what Michael Casey says. There is a great scene in the Bible where Joshua assembles the entire population at Shechem. And he tells them, choose today whom you will serve. Choose today whom you will serve. Unsurprisingly then, and throughout their history, a large proportion of the people preferred to sit on the fence, keep their options open. But we don't have to go back thousands of years to discover this tendency, do we? We can find it in ourselves. In many matters, we prefer not to give our full commitment until we accumulate more data, and especially until we can know for certain how things will turn out. Oh, what a difference it would make if there were fewer fence sitters, if more people were committed, intense, passionate, and energetic. You know, it doesn't take many wholly committed people to galvanize the rest. It's not unusual for administrators of all kinds of institutions to be champion fence sitters. That's right. They'll change something only if a bomb is put under them. And when from below there is a dense enough push for change on a particular issue, then they might act, if only to guarantee a quiet life for themselves. And if we want to produce a more just society or a more transparent administration, we have to organize. But organization needs organizers, people who are passionate enough to bestir themselves. So the model on which some theoreticians base their reflections is that of the church as a perfect society. It doesn't take long to discover how hollow this claim is, does it? In every age, not only ours, the church has had its own limitations. And by the way, the ranks of the clergy have not been restricted just to the bright angels of virtue. Speaking for myself, the spottiness of the church reflects the inherent condition of all its members. In this age, we can't expect to find only saints. The point is that this is no reason to withdraw our support or our fidelity to the church. If God can cope with the church's imperfection, and God does, then there is no reason for us to bail on it or to remain inert. In Western countries, more people are becoming obese. The danger is that our thinking becomes flabby as well. And we leave that task of thinking, to others. We just go with the flow. We just drift with the current, which will not take us anywhere good. Nor will we find much excitement if we just keep sitting on the fence. Oh, what is the answer? Maybe, just maybe, we should take the risk. Try a little initiative to make the world and the church better places. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you real quickly about a new ministry we're starting at Vine Street. It's a clothing drive for the Our House in Charleston. The Our House is a recovery center for those dealing with addiction. And the Our House aims to help people find their new life and release the chains of addiction, to turn a new leaf and get a new start. And clothes can be a big part of that. Having better, newer clothes, nicer clothes, more accessible clothing, let us say. And that's where we come in. So here's what I propose, and here's how this happened. I was in my room, my bedroom, putting away some of the clothes I had gotten for Christmas. And I noticed, once again, as had happened before, maybe a year ago or so, my drawers were getting full, and my closet was full, and I was looking for space. And then the Spirit hit me. You don't need more space. You need fewer clothes. So I had opened my sock drawer, not my athletic socks or my running socks, just my general sock drawer, and I counted how many pairs of socks I had. Socks come in pairs, you know. I'm not sure why that is, by the way. Can't we just wear one sock of one design and another sock of another color? Well, anyway, I counted my socks. And I had 33 pairs of socks. And the Spirit told me, that's your number. 33 is your number. 33 is your goal. You need to find 33 items of clothing that God has gifted you with. And you need to pay them forward. You need to gift them to someone else. And as you pick out each item of clothing, you're going to bless others with. Before you give it away or put it in the box or the bag, take a minute, take a second to thank God for that article of clothing that God blessed you with and that you're now going to bless someone else with. That's a spiritual act. That's a ministry. That's a commitment. That's sacrificial. That's what Jesus is looking for in all parts of our life. So we're going to do it for a few weeks. I'll give you a heads up when it's last call. And we'll use some gifts that God has given us to better our world. Let us pray. Lord God, you call us to fight the good fight and to be active in redeeming the times in which we live. Our prayer today is that you rouse us from our slumber. Give us the courage to engage with the issues of our day, the needs of the people all around us. And guide us by your Spirit of wisdom and prudence as we do this. Guide us by your Spirit of wisdom and prudence in all we do. We ask this in the name of Jesus. He's our Lord, and he's our King. Amen.